come and see. The dream is walking. Dream walker. I
Beautiful.
believe you can get me through the night.
Night.
Dream walker. Texas Ranger. Walker, Texas Ranger. I'm trying to think of other songs.
This week's our Walker Texas Ranger special.
Yes. Where we walk and invade your dreams.
Your
And
dreams
put.
about Walker Texas Ranger.
Well, we could invade the dreams of Walker, Texas Ranger, which would be played by the great Chuck Norris, who can roundhouse kick you in the face out of
He
his
can.
dreams, probably, if he's aware you're in his dreams. Like, guys, if you've seen Inception, sorry, welcome to Crystal Myth Podcast, in case you haven't
None of
listened
that
to us
nonsense.
before. Yeah, sorry, I'm Leslie, a dream babe Anderson, and this is Mark. I don't know what you call
Daydream
yourself.
Dornan.
Daydream Dornan. Yeah, I get in a lot of trouble in school for daydreaming a lot. In fact, I daydreamed constantly. I don't know
Let's
whether I
say.
was actually daydreaming though, or if I was just plain ignorant. I used to stare into space a lot, and not. And then it was, you know, it where you just stare, and you do sort of like go into some sort of trance, and all your surroundings just disappear, and time just stops. I don't know if you've ever had that, Mark, but that happened to me a lot as a child in primary school. Maybe I was bored and I was tuning everything out. But yeah, a lot of the times the teacher would be like, Leslie, stop daydreaming. Pay attention. Back to Earth.
I feel like I could do it sometimes now, but I don't really remember doing it when I was a kid.
Oh, I did it all the time.
Like just to totally zone out of
Yeah, zones
reality,
out.
and then I'm like, oh
Yeah, that's
wait,
what I would do.
like 25 minutes has passed. How did that happen? But not so much when I was younger, no.
All right, so you do it more now. I don't know if I do it now. I don't think I do. But I haven't done that for a long time. Maybe I'm more grounded in reality now. I don't know where I went to. I was time traveling. I was away somewhere. I don't know where I was. It just seemed to zone out all the time. I mean, dreams. We spoke about this in a previous podcast about dream monsters, like the, what's it called, the Batok or something. It was like a sort of Pokemon type character, and it looked like a big aardvark thing. It would come in, or it looked like one of the, oh, it's, what, yeah, Sleazy or what? Sleazy.
Sleazy.
What's the name of that sleep Pokemon? Fuck, we spoke about
Drowsy.
it. In Drowsy, yeah, it was based on
Sleazy.
Sleazy. That's the adult version of Snow White, Sleazy and Horny, and Fisto. No, that was He-Man. So yeah, I mean, obviously dream mythology goes back a long way, and part of, I was looking into mythology of like dreams and dream walkers, and it goes back to Greek mythology, I think, where so I've got it somewhere in my notes. I'll get to it within a wee second here. It has another name, like, I don't know if you've heard of this name. It's called One Aeronautics. I think that's where it's spelled O-N-E as in one, and then iron, and then autics. So I think it might be Oni Aeronautics rather than One Aeronautics. And
I would
that
assume
it's,
on the aeronautics, yeah.
yeah, and it's defined as a lucid dream in which the dreamer is aware that they are dreaming, which is a lucid dream, and they are able to exert some or complete control over the dream's characters, narrative, and/or environment. Early references to the phenomenon are found in ancient Greek texts. So there you are. There's not
But then
much
it
else in
kind
this.
of the idea that you can move about your own dream or access other people's dream kind of seems to be in a lot of ancient cultures.
Yeah. And also that they
I don't know
could
why I say that as though
emanate
that's
there.
surprising, as though there's some cultures that don't dream. Isn't that strange?
Well, some people can't dream, apparently. Some people don't dream at all, which is
No, that
weird, isn't
sucks.
it? I don't know how their brain processes stuff then if they don't
Yeah.
dream. So there's an idea that people are able to consciously travel or interact with the dream of another person, known variously as dream telepathy, telepathic lucid dreaming, or telepathic dreaming, or dream walking. And it's been explored in realms of science. I think you've got the science part of it. I don't really have that so much. And fantasy fiction. So I think one of the most popular ones, that our most recent case of dream walking in popular fiction or movies, would be Inception. Have you seen that film with Leonardo DiCaprio? It's a Christopher Nolan film where they have to obtain information from this guy's head. It's like secret, it's like they're spies or something, and they need to get information, but the only way they can do it is to invade this guy's brain by getting in his dreams. But in that film, in the if you die in the dream, then you die in real life. A bit like Freddy Krueger, he's a sort of dream walker.
That's exactly where my brain went there. And he's sort of a dream demon, but because he was alive to start off with, it's almost like he has gone into other people's dreams, but it's just that his physical body isn't there anymore.
Yeah, and then also in Inception, the way to find out, like, there's something called, what I read about when you're practicing this, that someone has to be the dream anchor. So you'll have a sigil or a word or something or a signal, hand movement or anything, so that that way the anchor can say, right, this is us out of the, we're coming out of the dream now, so we know we're in reality, so you don't confuse your, because if you do it too much, you start to confuse real life with the dream world, and you don't know whether you're in the dream or if you're out of the dream. It's about, all very David Lynch, like, life is a dream, everything's a dream, we live within a dream. So what are the things in Inception is that they have like a little die, like a spindle. It's a spindle. So if you spin it and it eventually stops spinning and falls over, that means you're not in the dream. But if it keeps spinning and doesn't fall, you're still in the dream. And I don't know if you've seen the film. Spoiler alert, I don't give a fuck.
I have, but I saw it quite a long time ago, so I can't remember what happens in it properly.
Leonardo DiCaprio's back where he thinks with his kids and all that. And then all of a sudden he does the spinny thing and it ends with you're watching it and you're waiting for it to drop, but it cuts out to black before it drops. So you don't know whether he's still in a dream or not. They leave it like that, up to you. So within mythology, Orinion is named after the children of Nyx. And they're called the Onairois. I'm so bad with these words. Onairois, I'm going to say. Or Onairois. How would you say this word? O-N-E-I-R-O-I-S.
O-N-E.
Yeah.
I-R-O-I-S. O-I-S. Onairois. The Onairois?
The Onairois. They were the children of Nyx. So Nyx is the god of the dead and the personification of dreams. Often they were depicted as children with wings coming out of their heads.
Lovely.
I like that. In ancient Greece, they would appear in dreams, and they make that makes which makes them dreamwalkers. For example, in the Iliad, Zeus sends one of them to Agamemnon to inflict nightmarish dreams. And that's really all I've got in terms of the mythology thing. That's where that word comes from.
Like, I get that would make them kind of dreamwalkers, but if they're godlike, that's different. Whereas, but then I'm saying that quite a lot of the stuff I was looking at about the mythology was saying that, like, most ancient cultures have the idea that there's people that can enter your dreams, but it tends to just be like there are individuals that can enter your dreams rather than there's a way to enter other people's dreams. If that makes sense.
It also says, like, maybe you're not just accessing the dream world, you're accessing the world beyond, because, or it's a way, maybe it's like a conduit between Earth reality and the afterlife or something, or the beyond. Because you know how we've probably spoke about this again before, is that often people speak about how dead relatives appear in their dreams out of context. So So if they can do that, then the possibility is that you could also do that. And there's also, think about it this way, it's not just restricted to like people nearby or people you know. You could also invade your own dreams in another time or another
Yeah,
dimension.
or
So that's why you'll see things in your dreams that you don't recognize and is in your reality, but they could be telling you things, or you could be seeing things in their dreams that is a reality in their life or their dimension or timeline.
yeah, I quite like
That makes
that
sense.
about
I
like the
like
idea
that.
that you could wander into the dreams of someone, but it's like dreaming in the future or the past. Like that's.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was interesting as well, because although I'm saying that quite a lot of cultures believe that there was only the one, or there would only be like some individuals that could do it. But yeah, I thought, well, I've
Some
not
people
thought
may
there
be
was
able to
stuff
do it
written about
naturally.
like if you were in someone else's dream scape in your dream, but they were a stranger from a different time, you wouldn't actually necessarily know.
No, you wouldn't, because it's same here. Like it said, for example, if you were to experience a dream from another timeline, then it means that you can experience like small differences. And you might notice that you might have a significant other or different family members, or you could live a different life than you do in your current reality. So you wouldn't know, really. You might have a different appearance. How do we really know if we're dreaming within our own heads or you are dreamwalking? Is there
Yeah.
any? Can you remember your dreams? Because I can remember bits of my dream from earlier today. Actually, I did. I dreamt that. Well, see, that's pertinent to me. That's not dreamwalking. That's just my anxieties, because I dreamt that I was in work and that all of a sudden my boss hated me for some reason. And that's like a nightmare to me, because I like everyone in my office and I think they're all nice. And I don't know why they would suddenly turn on me like that. But that's probably because of my previous job and my anxieties of that going forward into my new one. So that's not a dreamwalking situation. But then I'm thinking there's always these dreams where I'm traveling, I'm always in a different place, or I'm in the same place, but it's like it says I'm in Japan. I feel like I'm in Japan, but it's definitely not Japan. I know it's not, but in the dream it is. And there's always this area in Japan that I go to where like weed is legal, so it's like I'm mashing Amsterdam with Japan or something. And I go there to get some joints, and then there's like these mad trains. And then I'm always looking for my hotel, or I'm lost, or I'm wandering about for ages trying to find somewhere, and I can never seem to get there. And there's people in my dream that I don't know, but I do know them. You know, like they're people I know in the dream, but they're not related to me in the reality, in the real world. So I'm like, where the fuck did they come from? Because I don't know them. So that could be maybe a dreamwalking situation. I don't know. Where am I traveling somewhere that is like an
That does
alternative?
seem to the same people that you
Yeah.
actually don't know at all kind of ties in with one of the things that I looked at in the, or not that I looked at, one of the things that the scientists looked at in the scientific study that I looked at.
Okay, like I'm intrigued to know about the scientific study, because I didn't look into that side of things, so I was hoping you would have something more interesting. So what have you learned?
So
Let me
I
learn from.
looked like specifically into, I say specifically as though I looked at a variety of scientific studies. I looked at the first scientific study that I looked at because it was interesting,
Okay.
which was a study carried out by a psychologist, Patrick
Dr.
McNamara, PhD.
Dreamweaver. Okay.
So he'd said that, so basically he'd looked at a lot of different psychologists and therapists and stuff, studies into this idea of dreamwalking and whether or not it was possible. They also, which is, I was like, yeah, I have heard that word, the on
Or
I, what is it?
ironism.
Yeah, so they'd looked at, he'd sort of done a study into that, but he said that there are common examples of dreams that
I know
he
this.
think that he thought before doing his research anyway, tied into this idea. And one of them he calls "Who Are You" dreams, which is basically what you were just describing, where there's other people in your dream who also seem to be dreaming and aren't people you know. So his example he gave is that one of the people that he spoke to in the study had this story about how she Very similar to what you just said, how basically, like, she started having this dream and she was in Paris, even though she'd never been in Paris before.
That's so weird. Yeah, it's like me traveling to London and it's not London. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
But then there was a French girl, like, wandering about in the dream, and she kind of said, like, everyone else seemed kind of, you know, dreamlike, David Lynchian, if you want, like you said.
Yeah.
But this other girl seemed really real, but she seemed lost. So she went over to the girl and asked her if she was lost, and the girl said that she was. She couldn't find her apartment that she was staying in.
Fucking hell, that sounds like my dreams.
In Paris. So then the woman who was dreaming was like, oh, well, I'll help you find it. And they kind of wandered about for a bit until the girl said, oh, but she said it was, again, very dreamlike. They wandered about a bit, but even though she hadn't been to Paris before, she knew this couldn't be the layout of it. Like, the way the streets were winding into each other made no sense.
Yeah.
And then eventually they ended up in a street, and the girl said, oh, this is the street that I stay in. And then they walked along slightly, and the girl said, this is my apartment here. And then, which is why McNamara started calling them, who are you, dreams? And then the girl turned to the woman who was dreaming and looked very confused and said, who are you?
Oh, that's so weird.
And then the woman woke up and was like, that was bizarre, because it seemed like I was a character in the little girl's dream.
Yeah. It is like you come across someone and they're looking at you like, who the fuck is this? And then you're looking at them going, I don't know who you are. And it's impossible, because in your dreams, supposedly the only thing you should be dreaming about is what you've experienced and what your brain has memorized. So there shouldn't be any strangers in your dream. So can you recall anything like that? Have you ever had any dreams like that, Mark? Or
I've had the thing that's not that, where you have dreams and there's strangers in it, but the strangers are someone, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but that could be again, that could be like you visiting people, like you in another reality.
Maybe. But I've never had one like what you described, which weirdly fits in perfectly with that first example.
Yeah.
Like, nothing like that. Like, whenever there's been people that I don't know my dreams, it's always like, you know, there's an old dumpy white haired lady, but for some reason she's also like
your mum?
Yeah, my mum or my aunt or someone. I'm like, she looks nothing like them, but she is them. And then I wake up and think, oh, that was weird, that I was like, and this is my mum. And the other one that he had sort of come up with before he started his study was the altered recurring dream. So he said most people have experienced this, which I have experienced this one. So he said a good example would be that one of the people he was working with before starting the study had talked about how they used to have the same recurring dream all the time, which was effectively just that they were walking through a patch of woods that they'd never been in before. It was very uniform. So there'd be like a block of trees and then a split in the trees and then a block of trees and a split in the trees. And eventually they get to a part where they were walking along a road, but you still had the same thing on the right hand side. So on the right hand side, block of trees, split, block of trees, split. On the left hand side, big wall, kept walking. And then basically would walk and walk and walk and eventually wake up and be like, that's weird, I had that strange dream about walking again. But they
and
said
there's no other people in the dream, it's just
But they said that on one singular occasion they had exactly the same dream. So walked, gap, trees, gap, trees, gap. And then they got to one gap and looked down, and they said there was a man with silver hair dressed entirely in a silver outfit that stared at them and looked
like
equally
that.
Confused that they were there.
So that's
as they were, that this other man was in their recurring dream. And then the guy who was dreaming said that he got such a fright he started to sprint until he eventually got to the wall bit and then woke up and thought that was bizarre because I have the same dream all the time. And then the next time he had the dream, it was just as it had always been, and he still has that same recurring dream.
See, that makes me think it's like a sort of set that you sort of airdrop into occasionally.
Yeah.
You know,
again,
it is
like
people
so
you're
very much in someone else's dreamscape.
Ah, oh, it's like a dreamscape. Do you know what? This sounds so daft, right? But you know how Animal Crossing, I know you've got that game. There's
I
a bit where you could, I discovered that you could go to sleep, right? And then you go, you dream. And in your dreams, you can go to other Animal Crossing places and visit them in your dreams. So that there's a dreamwalker scenario in that. You can't actually change anything or anything like that. You can just wander around like a ghost in their dreams, in their villages and things.
That's so
weird.
You're
also dreaming. It's so, like, I just think it's funny that that's in a Nintendo game and that actually happens to people. That's really fascinating. Like, I don't know if I've ever, I don't think I've ever had that, not that I'm aware of, but I do
I
have
like
the
that
Funko
each
Dream.
of us have had one of the most common ones, but not the other one.
Yeah.
Weirdly, again, with yours being like very similar description, mine's pretty much the same. I used to have a recurring nightmare all the time that
Oh.
I was walking in like what I clearly knew was the Black Forest in Bavaria, even though I've never been there.
I've been there.
It might
Maybe
not
it
look
was
anything like it
me.
does in my dreamscape, but just that,
Yeah.
like very thick trees, walking through a path through it. Always on my own, and then I'd always get to a certain point, and there'd be like a circular clearing in the woods. I'm sure I've told you this before because it was
No, I
my
don't know.
recurring nightmare I used to have all the time. And Beastman from the He-Man cartoons was there, but he was like what Beastman would actually be like if he was real.
What did he do? I just imagine Beastman sitting there and just casually giving you a wee wave, going, all right, mate.
No, he was like terrifying looking, like slobbering, and he would turn to me and start to chase me, like putting his hands in the
Oh.
ground and his feet coming behind him. And I would start to run but trip over the branch. But one time I had the dream and I was walking along, going along the path, merry, merry, merry on my way. And then I saw this guy on the path
Oh.
ahead of me wearing a blue jacket, facing, rather than facing forwards or backwards on the path, facing into the trees. And then my brain kind of went like, I don't know that guy. And then my brain went, hold on,
Shit, where's Beastman?
this is this Beastman dream. If
What the
I
fuck?
keep walking that way, it'll chase me. And then without even acknowledging the guy or the guy turning to look at me, I then turned around to walk back the other way so that I wouldn't get chased by Beastman, and then I woke up.
The thing is, what I'm wondering, if he's another guy, like genuinely another guy in his bed dreaming the same, and he's in the same dreamscape, does he have a Beastman equivalent of a Beastman chasing him? Is this like a, some sort of nightmare landscape, nightmare scene? You know, like one's like a fairly like vague, innocuous, plain dreamscape. Sort of like the Miiverse, you know, like when you have to get on top of a Nintendo. You know how the wee Miis and they've got like a little Mii platform where they all
Yeah.
hang out? The plaza, the Mii plaza. Isn't that like a kind of version of a Mii plaza where everyone just drops in and depending on who's there or not, it's sort of like a virtual world. And some of them are nightmares, some of them are just plain boring places, and some of them might be like a carnival or something, or something more colorful, and
I don't know, when
everyone's
I
got
was
their
reading
own.
this, that wasn't really like maybe, but I was thinking
That's
that
my theory.
the other guy was maybe a
I'm no
dreamwalker and he dropped
expert.
into my dreamscape. But then I'm like, if he dropped into my dreamscape, if he followed the path the other way, would Beastman then maul and kill him?
No, because I don't think Beastman would be there. Beastman's your nightmare. Beastman is something from He-Man. Unless he's watching the same, unless he is, unless the only play, right, the only people who end up there are He-Man fans, have watched He-Man at some point, and they end up there, and it's always Beastman that chases them.
Do you think if he
The
got there and had watched Beastman before that he would see it and realize it was a hyper-realistic Beastman? Or do you think he'd just be like, oh fuck, what's that?
want you to go back there just so you can see it from an adult, like,
I never have it anymore, not
oh,
since I saw that guy. I still had it for years after that, but I've not had that
that's
recurring
strange.
nightmare for ages. But again, similarly to what McNamara was saying in his study thing. When I, like the next time I had it, it just panned out the way it always pans out. It was just that one time that, and again, it was weird having that lucid dreaming thought of not lucid dreaming, who's that guy up
You
there in the
noticed
blue
him?
coat? And then
Yeah.
lucid dreaming, like, hold on, that guy in the blue coat shouldn't be there. This is this weird nightmare I have when I get to the end of the path and
You know
Beastman's
Beastman.
there.
It's so, because I thought maybe by seeing the man in the blue coat, that would sort of distract you from the Beastman situation and take you out of the dream. It kind of did in a way.
Kind of did.
But then you still remembered it, hang on. Like a recording, like you're watching a recording, you know what's going to occur. Beastman should be there.
Exactly
That's
that.
just
Almost like
fascinating.
I'd watched this same like 5 minute short film over and over again, and then I was watching it and was like, fuck's that guy in a blue coat doing? He's not been in this film before.
I like the idea of dreamwalking to communicate with someone you know who are far away. Like, say I want to have a chat with you and we can meet each other, or I could invade your dreams.
Well, kind of, so will I tell you the like four most common?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go on.
I've got a couple of stories and things as well from his study, but I'll come back to them. But so he'd said there was the four most common types of dream sharing.
Mm-hmm.
So the fourth most common is, he thought from his studies, is strangers sharing each other's dreams, because he thought this is probably more common than we thought, because both of the examples that we've just discussed would fall into that. And he said, well, people, that both of these are things that people commonly report. So the
Mark.
No.
Do you think this ties in with the collective consciousness then?
Maybe, but I don't know, because it's not really, again, it doesn't seem to be that he's saying that there's an actual dreamscape that everyone can access. It's almost like everyone has their individual dreamscape, but sometimes you'll accidentally slip into somebody else's.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's like for like a visual aid, like, you know, like in the old fashioned days of the telephone operators, where they would connect you with all the wee wires. It's like you're connecting into someone else's brain for a collective consciousness. Again, I'm just throwing out my wild theories.
I mean, maybe. He did say that one of the things that he also sort of lumped in with this is like people having dreams like the ones we've just discussed and then randomly meeting. But randomly meeting. Yeah, in reality. So he said, although there's very few cases of that happening, he said to the extent that actually in his report, he's only been able to tell anecdotal stories, but he has heard stories from other people that work in the field of psychology of, like, some women, let's call her Jennifer, having this dream about the little French girl and then going on holiday to France and somebody introducing them to, like, a friend of a friend's family, and her being like, that little girl looks exactly like the girl in my dream, and then the little girl going like, mummy, that's that lady from the dream I had where I was lost.
I mean, I have heard stories about that, but I just remind me of a really fucked up one. It was, I think it was in Mexico or some Spanish-speaking country, sorry to generalise, but it was this guy, and he always had these dreams about this beautiful woman with, like, long flowing black hair, gorgeous pale skin, stuff like that, and blue eyes or whatever, and she always appeared in his dreams all the time. And then he was a doctor, and one day this woman comes in with her daughter, and it was the woman that he was dreaming of, and he's like, oh my god, you're my dream girl, so I have to have you, kind of thing. But obviously she was sick, and she was really ill with tuberculosis or something like that. So he said, I'll take care of her, I'll try and cure her and stuff like that, as in, like, it must be destiny that she's appeared in here, it must be my job to save her, and then we can become like lovers together, even though she was like a child and he was an old man. Anyway, so she eventually died, right? So he was like, what the fuck, why is she dead? And then he was so obsessed with her that he then stole her body, embalmed her, dressed her up in a white dress, and kept her in his house for years and years and years, and he would dance with her and stuff like that. Eventually they found out.
An awful story.
Yeah, and there's actual pictures of, like, the mummified corpse of this woman. It actually happened, like, recently. It wasn't, well, I would say it was, I think it was, like, early 20th century this took place, and then eventually her mum, like, found out what he was doing with her daughter. It's just fucking what?
Understandably, I think that's a reasonable reason for her to be annoyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But then he'd never seen that woman before in his life. And so that's a weird thing, isn't it? Like, she appeared, but then he took that as, I must have her forever. It's fucked up.
But then it's also, I mean, I don't know what he was experiencing, but it's not really the same thing, because the example that this his face guy's given, McNamara, is where people are both going like, oh, that, like, this is the person from my dream.
Yes,
but
so you're the person from my dream. Him. Uh-huh, I get what you mean.
Yeah, whereas she was like, I'm not the girl from your dream. You are a complete stranger. Leave me alone.
If anything, I wish she kind of did dream about him to, as a warning, to stay the fuck away from.
So, anyway. Third most common is what you were talking about, like, could we enter each other's dreams? So he said that there's quite a lot of recordings of people who have close friendships, close romantic relationships, or who have parent-child bonds that enter each other's dreams, but it tends to be like, it tends to be the case that you might not notice, because they tend to be quite, not bland, but, like, I mean, bland's the only word I can think of. So I lied. I'm going to give you an example of one of the stories I liked, because it's, like, bland, but it's not. Okay. So one of his people in his study was a guy called Matt Selvin. So his story is, when I was in my early 20s, I had a dream about two brown sparrows.
Wait, flying. When he was in his early 20s or in the 1920s? Okay.
No, when he was in his early 20s.
Right.
So he had a dream about two brown sparrows flying into and around his bedroom. One was not as adept at flying as the other. They flew out of the window, and I became a little worried because of the weaker flyer. But when I looked out of the window, they were both gone. And that was basically his dream. However, he then found it odd, because the next day he saw one of his friends, and his friend told Matt that he had had a really strange dream. And Matt said, "Oh, what was this?" And he said, "I had a dream last night that I came to visit you, and your front door was ajar, so I let myself in, and there were two brown sparrows flying around in the downstairs part of your house. One of them wasn't a very strong flyer, and it kept dipping as it flew. And then they flew upstairs towards your bedroom, and at this point I woke up."
Wow, so he was there at the same time as him.
Yeah, which again is kind of
a different point of view, which is weird.
Yeah, but that was kind of part of his study as well, where he found out, actually, if you studied people that had these very close bonds and studied dreams and shared dreams, you quite often found that people didn't know they were having shared dreams until they were part of the study, because there were things like that. And it was exactly what you just said there, like, you were in the same dreamscape, but you were seeing things from two entirely different point of views. You weren't necessarily in exactly the same place. You were just, like, close by each other. So it was more so that there was, like, it's carry through that, from one dream to the other, rather than...
I've had dreams where your friends have shown up in them, and I'm like, why are they in my dream? Because I don't hang around with them, but they're here. So could I be maybe seeing what you're seeing?
Possibly, in some weird way? Because he did say, like, the, again, third most common type. So your fourth most common is the stranger, the third most common, but it's, like, only if you have a close friendship. So, yeah, it wouldn't be a friend of a friend. So if you were seeing my friends that you wouldn't normally dream about, that would imply that we were having a shared dreamscape, but we weren't next to each other. So
so we don't know, like, you could have been in a different room and I'm seeing...
Yeah, and we wouldn't know that we were sharing a dreamscape, because we're not in exactly the same place.
Yeah, that's so weird. I like that, though, but I like the idea of being, like, that you're aware that you're invading someone's dreams, and that I could actually physically go to you, Mark, let's dream walk tonight, and we'll do this ritual, have some dream tea, and then go to bed, and then let's meet each other in this place, like this forest or whatever, or a place that we know, and then we can hang about in our dreams.
That was what I meant, like, before we started recording, when I was saying she is not exactly what I would have thought it would have been, like, that's what I was hoping to find information about, where there's really nothing in the study indicates that's a thing. It all seems to be very random, like, nobody plans to be in each other's dreams, you just sometimes are.
Well, there are people that do claim that they can do this, you know, these occulty people, witchy people and things like that. I found a website called Otherworldly Oracle, and it has a guidelines on how to do the dream walking by someone called Alora. <That's a bit laughs> pretentious name, but anyway, so it says here that dream work has always been part of my spiritual practice and lifelong before I had an established practice. I don't know if they talk like that. I think I'll just stop. I
have
experienced that's what she talks like, or he. I have experienced a wide variety of dream places, spaces and phenomena, from sleep paralysis to astral travel and even lucid dreaming. However,
I like this now just sounds like oh, what's her name? Out of White Lotus, that plays Stifler's mum.
Oh, I don't know.
You're doing a perfect impression of her, whatever her name is.
Stifler's mum. I've never seen White Lotus, but yeah, she's quite whispery, isn't she?
Yes.
However, there remains one dream practice that seems to fascinate people all over ever: dream walking. In this article, I answer the question, what is a dream walker, in detail? I also provide guidelines for the practice and a ritual to get you in the proper space to perform this work. Okay, so she says, what is a dream walker? Well, we've already discussed this, but what is it to this person? So she's saying, Dream walking occurs when one person enters a dream space, the consciousness. So she's saying it is the consciousness, the collective consciousness of another individual. You're actually downloading yourself into their brain. When this is done subconsciously and without control, it's called shared dreaming. However, when it's done consciously with control, it is known as dream walking. So there is the difference. She says that they've experienced shared dreaming for many years. It started when they were around 16. They knew that they were doing shared dreaming when people told her that they dreamt of her the night before and described to them the exact same dream they had while asleep, while they were asleep. So similar to what you were saying, but
yeah.
I don't know if it would be the exact same, because like, I think it's more plausible that you would see it from a different perspective. And you, yeah, like what you were saying earlier. So she said, when I was in my mid-20s, I was introduced to dream walking, the practice of purposely leaving my dream space and visiting the dream space of someone else's consciousness. This is still a kind of shared dream, but it has some distinct differences than the experience of a shared dream. The first and most distinguishable difference is that to dream walk before sleep, you set a conscious intention to walk into a particular person's consciousness while they are asleep. So if you were to pick someone to invade their consciousness, anyone really, who would it be? Because it is quite invasive. Whose mind do you want to get into? Vladimir Putin?
You, based on Boris the fact Johnson? That we're having this conversation, so then I could be like, why? It works.
No, because I'm a complete nosy bastard, so I'd want to go into like people like, I don't know, Prince Andrew or kind of weird people. I want to know what's in his head. Like, I want to know
either you or the cat. Like cat? My cat.
Oh, they think about animals. We're not really... Yeah, we're talking about humans, but can you invade animals? Or do they live in a different plane? Nobody's talking about that.
Nobody is talking about it.
What animals dream? We know that cats...
We're on the scientific studies into sharing dreams with cats.
Yes, exactly. Mark, that's a gap in the market there. You need to start a thesis on sharing dreams with cats. What do cats dream about? Killing birds, I'm presuming. Or knocking stuff or getting scratches, or maybe it's completely unexpected.
Yeah, I'd like to see. In fact, that is my firm answer now. I want to go into my cat stream.
You want to go into Mahisa's head. Okay.
Or if the time travel thing works, I suppose I'd go into my grand stream.
Oh, that would be nice.
So that I could visit her. That would be nice.
Yeah, I'd like to go back in time and go into like someone like, again, I just want to nosy around in royal family's heads. So I'd go into like Henry VIII or Anne Boleyn or somebody like that and find out what they're thinking. I'm just so nosy. So, or Hitler or Churchill, and find out what the other one thinks. Churchill was a bastard as well, though, to be fair. Like, okay, maybe he's not, I don't know. I suppose you can't really compare him to Hitler, but at the same time, he did kill a lot of people as well, like Indians. Like I'm talking about, yeah, you know what I mean? He starved a lot of them.
That is true, because that sounded a bit like, but
yeah,
which it was not.
All right, so where was I here? Right, okay, so the second is, while in the other person's consciousness, you gain control over the space. You can change the scenery and control your actions and responses, as well as visit the other world. So you can go into, say like I invaded your dream and I knew I was in your dream, but you might not know that I'm in your dream, and I can make things like you're walking along a forest area and I think, nah, fuck that, I'm going to change it into like a tropical island all of a sudden. I can make things like that happen, or create images, or create Beastman to chase you if I'm feeling wicked.
Or get rid of Beastman. If that guy in my dream was a dreamwalker, then he'd be fine, because he could just turn Beastman into a pigeon.
How evil am I? I'm like, rather than take Beastman,
I like that your brain's like, therefore I could kill you, rather than therefore I could save you.
I'm like, stick 10 more Beastmen in there and see what happens. Are you game for a laugh? Mark, are you game for a laugh? How many Beastmen do you want chasing you down this hallway?
Strangely, my visual image when you said put 10 Beastmen in there made me think that they would start tearing each other apart instead of us. Don't know why. So might work well as a distraction.
Well, then maybe you're taking control of the dream and then making Beastmen fight each other and rip themselves apart rather than you. That's more lucid dreaming, I suppose. We could fight each other in our dreams. You can change the
scenery.
Okay. To be a dream walker is like astral traveling into a specific person's mind and performing lucid dreaming functions. So I could go into, like, if I could time travel, I could go back into Hitler's brain and maybe make him a nice person instead of a complete bastard.
Yeah.
But then he'd be like, oh, that was a weird dream, and then probably wouldn't think any more of it. For more
No.
information, right. So, guidelines for dream walkers, Mark.
Okay.
Guideline one. You should never dream walk into someone else's dreams unless you have their express permission. I suppose you're invading someone's consciousness. You
Yeah.
should probably that, but then how do you give someone permission to, like, how do you say to someone, oh, by the way, can I enter your dreams tonight without it sounding really fucking corny? And then you'd be like, oh, ha-ha, you just like flirt with me or something. Like, you're not gonna go, aye, come on in. What are you talking about? You're literally walking into someone's head. To do this without permission is the ultimate invasion of privacy. That's what makes it fun. This is not a
Also,
shared dream. What? I
again, I don't think that you can
don't
possibly
think you
decide
can.
exactly whose dream you're dropping into when, because if she could do that, she'd have won all that money from that prize fund that we talked about that time for people that have actual superpowers.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But
Yeah.
surely it has to be random. Like, yeah, you could
It
have an
would have to
idea. Like, I
be.
could be a skilled dream walker and be like, right, I'm going to go into Leslie's dream tonight. And then, I don't know, be in your sister's dream or be in someone else called Leslie that I've never met dream, and maybe like one time out of 20 I'd end up in your dream. But if it was that easy to just go, right, I'm doing, just letting you know I'm doing it tonight, okay, no bother, tonight's fine, like
Yeah, I
that would
don't
mean it was
think.
then measurable. So
So what you're
if I should
saying,
drop
Mark, is it?
this,
Yeah, I was gonna say what you're saying, Mark, is she's talking absolute shite.
I'm not saying I don't believe people can enter other people's dreams. I'm saying that
I
I
don't
believe that
know.
Stifler's mum is talking bish.
Bollocks. She said, I recommend doing this with those close to you in your waking life, especially if you're the kind of person that doesn't easily let people in. Guideline two, check your motives. Why do you want to dream walk with this person? If you follow guideline one, this shouldn't give you too much pause, but if you didn't gain express permission or entering it into someone's mind for the ill intent, like causing confusion, mind control, or causing nightmares, stop and think about the consequences. Well, that's no fun. Weigh the risk versus reward. Remember, you will be in the dream space too, and you won't be the only one that can control the dream. What is there, like, multiple people in this cunt stream all fighting to see who can change what?
I like the idea as well that I'll be like, can I try this tonight, Leslie? And you say, yeah, and then I turn up in your dream, but then there's like 17 other people you know there, and
Yeah.
I'm like, why is
Get
everyone here?
in line, bitch. I was here first. Mental health. Well, this is guideline three. Mental health is of the utmost importance. Dream walking is the work of the mind. If you or the person you wish to dream walk with suffers from mental health issues, keep this guideline in the forefront of your mind. In my experience, walking into the dreams of others who are suffering from depression, grief, trauma. So you actually do that then, that's what she's saying. For other mental
Also,
illnesses, it's not generally a good idea.
how old is this woman that she
Have
has
no
friends,
idea.
or how young is this woman that she has friends and none of them have severe mental health conditions? Because I don't know anyone in our age group that doesn't at least have a
Exactly.
mild mental health condition.
I definitely do, so good luck. The mind is already dealing with an imbalance it's trying to correct. You or the other person may travel to the other world and wish to stay. I've actually had this happen. It caused sleep paralysis, took a whole lot of energy, and it was not fun. I don't like
All
this.
right.
If you've assessed the risks and still wish to continue, you should have an idea of what the dreamscape will look like and feel like prior to entry. What? How are you going to know that? You don't, unless you're conjuring it up yourself, like fucking, I don't know what he's called, the lawnmower man. That's
Don't know
where
why my head went
you get
Sabrina the
distracted.
Teenage Witch.
Did you? I was thinking of the
Basically the
lawnmower man.
same
The virtual
character.
reality. Yeah. Guideline four, one person should take the role of the dream anchor. So that's where I got this from. A dream anchor in dream walking is the person who initiates the end of the session. This person is the anchor between the dream space and reality. You should know which of you will be the anchor before dream walking, and if it's you, you should know how to end the dream walk. anchors typically find using a specific hand gesture. Mine would be like flipping the bird or something.
My head went the wanker sign.
Wanker sign, yes.
Like if we were both in different rooms in the dreamscape, like we were saying earlier, you might just see me lean around the door and make the wanker sign at you, and then you know things are going awry. It's time to wake up.
However, the more you do it, the more practice you get, and more clearly your dream will become. Right. All right. So this is how you do it, according to her. Now, this sounds too complicated. I can't be arsed, but if this is according to her how you do the Dreamwalker ritual. You will need 2 red chain candles. Where the fuck do you get them? White string.
That's a film. What's it called? Flying Tiger.
Do you think you'll get them there? But I don't know. It's not just any candle. It's a chain candle. Apparently chain candles are only last like 30 minutes. White string. You need an album of music.
Flying Tiger.
Where'd you get your album music? You just like get a mixtape. What would your dream album be? I'll have Up to My Guts and Nuts by April.
Probably something Stevie Nicks. That's very okay. She's dreamlike, isn't she?
Yeah, I could have what's it, Cradle of Filth one with a Elizabeth Bathory one. Oh, I can't remember. I've got the album. Or I just want heavy metal or something. I don't want something calming. I don't know. Okay Computer might be a good one. Maybe we should both put that on.
Okay.
You have to have the same. Well, I don't know if it has to be the same soundtrack. That it might be just something that you. Oh my god, you said Fleetwood Mac. That's where I'll get around to it. Right. So you need an album of music. You need something to carve your candles with, and dreaming tea. And I'm like, what the fuck is dreaming tea? I can't just get that down, Asda.
I've got dreamy tea. Is that the same thing?
What's dreamy tea?
I've got tea bags that are called dreamy tea that make you feel sleepy.
Well, that's exactly what she's referring to. But what are the ingredients in this dreaming tea?
I think it's got lavender, ginger. I can't be bothered getting up to look for them. I'm sure it's got two other ingredients in it as well, though. Oh, that thing that I never know the name of, but I hope this makes sense to you. You know, there's like a herb that's called like Lefumphy Mumph or something. It's got too many M's and P's and vowels in it. It's like lumph, 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 lumph.
No.
Okay.
Does this tea work for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she says to brew your dreaming tea, you need an hour to an hour and a half before you enter the dream space. So you have to drink it within that time. There are heaps of dreaming teas out there, of which Mark just mentioned. Yeah. But a simple recipe I love is valerian root, chamomile, mugwort, and honey. That sounds disgusting.
Valerian root's the other thing. Mine's the monkey month, lavender, ginger, and valerian root.
Well, according to her, we should drink the same tea. Then she says, you carve your name and any other information you want into your candle.
It's like going on holiday.
Yeah. This signifies your identity. So if I carve my name, say like Leslie Gimpsuit, swimming in wine. That's what I want to happen in my dream. Or what's what I want to see.
Your
name Mark. On it as well.
Baggy shoulder pads.
Ooh. Yeah.
Everyone's an octopus.
Oh, I'd have to put Salma Hayek in a with her massive tits and a busty. That would be nice too. Okay. I'd really want to go with her dreamscape. So once you've done that, this signifies your identity within the ethers, I think, and allows the other person's consciousness to more easily access your dreaming stream once asleep. I don't really see how that would work, but okay. This is a bit I was confused at, right? So maybe you can explain it more. Take your white string and tie it to the wick of each candle. How? I think that would be awfully fiddly. I've got long nails. I can't do that. So are you saying that you take the string and tie it to the, so you've got like a bridge between the candles of white string.
That seems very, very dangerous
Yeah,
more
I
than
know,
anything else.
that's what I thought. It's gonna set on, you're gonna
I
set
like that
on
she's like, be very careful whose dreams you enter in case it has a negative influence on your mind. Anyway, get a big pile of rope and pour fucking kerosene all over it. What?
That's a better impression of her than me. This ties your consciousness together in the dream space. This binding only lasts in a dream space. However, it does bind you to the person for a period of time. This is why express permission and knowing the person is super important. Number four, set up your soundtrack. Get your Spotify ready or whatever audio device you choose to use. This music should be played on both sides of the dreamwalking. This allows your sleeping brain to remain on the frequency of the music together. I have
Surely
dreamed.
we have to be together though. If we're tying a string to each of our candles, like, am I tying a string from the candle in your house to the candle in my house? Because quite a lot of people are going to be fucked off about that.
No, I think it's a metaphor for tying your consciousness together, or am I are you putting my name in one candle and your name in the other and then tying the string together so it connects our
Oh, and
consciousness?
you're
Is that
doing vice versa,
what
so I'll know what
you're
words
saying?
you've put on it. So I would
Yes.
also have to carve Leslie
Yes.
Gimp and a big bucket of wine into one of my candles.
I'm a high big titties.
So I expect I've got
Yeah.
quite a lot more to carve for your one than I do for my own one.
Yeah, sorry. All I see is 80s shoulder pads, octopus.
Yeah.
Bring your tea into. Oh, right. No, wait. This
I
is
suppose I could
a.
just carve wine and titties.
Wine and titties, that'll do.
That could be my drag name if I joined Selena Estes' drag family. I could be her little sister, whining.
Whining
Yeah.
titties. That's a great name.
Thank you.
So
Thank you for liking
this.
my drag name.
This line really wound me up for some reason. I have dreamed walk to Evanescence. Fuck off. Enya and, get this, Mark, Fleetwood Mac. You said that. She's saying the same thing. The music is up to you, but it should be something melodic and meditative to the both of you. Right, then.
I feel like it'd be
Number
quite fun
five.
to dreamwalk to Enya because she's not as relaxed as people make her out to be.
Why say that? Is she
I feel
unhinged?
like it would be like wine suspended above you, wine below you, dropping everywhere. Like her music's very like bling, 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 bong, 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 Even though people are like, oh, it's nice relaxing music that your auntie listens to in the bath. I'm like,
Don't know what any of the
really? Not if
noise.
your auntie's on speed. That's right, Enya. I'm calling you out.
Number five, bring your tea into your bedroom, pour a cup and start sipping.
Thought you were going to say put it in the bed.
And then
Empty
sip
your
it.
tea into the bed and then climb into the wet area.
And then sip it. Light the center. Now, this is where she's lost me. Light the center of the string between the two candles in the center. In the center of what? She's like, well, that doesn't make sense.
No,
So
does she
you've
just mean
got,
set the string on fire?
yes, that's what you said. Like,
She's got...
the center of the string between the two candles in the center. But why is it she say center twice? I don't understand that bit. So are you lighting the candles, or are you like, or is she expecting the? Do you think that why she thinks that by lighting the string that the fire somehow magically going to go like travel along the string and light the candles, light the wick? Because I don't think
I
that's how it
think
works. She's mental.
she might be mental, yeah.
Yeah. Number six, meditate on the candle flames while sipping your tea. You may need only one cup, but I require two because they're
Weird drag.
small. She
A pussy like you might fall asleep after one sleepy tea, but I need at least 17 sleepy teas if I'm to go down.
Because I'm so
funny. I don't know why she's now tree trunks from Adventure Time.
Never seen Adventure Time, so
well,
I should start watching it. If tree trunks, that sounds quite funny. Start your music. This should be synchronized between you and your Dreamwalker partner, so the music is exactly the same in both places. Also, set your music on repeat. Number 8, continue meditating on the candle flames until the candles burn out. Once the flames are out, your tea, or in my case, my 17,000 cups of tea, will have kicked in and you're ready for bed. Once you wake from your dream walk, record everything you saw, felt, and experienced so you can compare notes with your dream walking partner. Yeah, that's how you do it. So in conclusion, she says, as you gain experience dream walking, I feel like I'm becoming her now, you will find that the need to initiate experience for ritual lessons. And then you can become an expert like me. Nowadays, when I want to dream walk, I usually just use a dream tea or a million to help me get there, if anything at all, provided my dream partner is also adept. Dream walking is like any other spiritual discipline. It takes time and practice. Believe it or not, there is another level to dream walking that I'll have to cover in another article that you'll never reach. Dream rescue.
Again, there's another level that you'll never reach because you're a piece of shit.
Good.
But I'll write an article about it anyway.
And you can just imagine what it'll be like. It's called Dream Rescue, where adept dream walkers such as myself can rescue others from nightmares, insomnia, sleep paralysis, and other parasomnia disturbances.
I'm glad it was the guidance blue jacket that came to save me from Beastman and not her. Imagine you were wandering along the path and it was like, who's that over there in the ball gown? And she's like, it's me. I've drank all of my tea. You can never drink as much tea as I drink. Come and sit down. I'll tell you how shit you are.
I hope you've learned a little something and maybe even gave it a go. Fucking hell. Right, well, that's the end of dream walking. I think I'm sure that'll, you know, really spike your people's interest and maybe have it go yourself. You never know.
You don't.
Yeah. I don't think I'll go to the trouble of having dream tea and lighting candles and all that bullshit.
Okay. I quite often have a sleepy tea, but no, I'm not setting fire to my house just because this woman said so. I'm going to go back to McNamara's study now because he doesn't mention any of this stuff.
Okay, well, let's end it. We went to Silly Town. Let's get back to Serious Town. Okay,
he's not talking about tea. Maybe he's missing a step there. Maybe that's what
maybe
he needs.
Maybe he is. Yeah, maybe. Right, okay.
I want to get to... I'm going to... So he did a, like, wider study. So, you know, I've told you the third and the fourth most common.
Yes.
So he did, like, a longer study in the second most common. But I'm going to zip through that and go back to the study because I want to tell you the most common because it's bizarre. Okay. So
I love bizarre.
The second most common... a type of shared dreaming is between twins.
Well, that makes sense.
Which seems obvious. And we'll come back to that because he did a full study into that. But the most common, so there's a recognized, well-documented phenomenon in psychology. I then went out of his studies and Googled this some more because I was like, is this a thing? It is, which is why he got really interested in it, which is the shared dreams of patients and therapists.
Oh.
So there are no outlandish examples, but it's basically just that it's a really, really common thing that therapists will dream of one of their patients and it'll be like a bland dream. So his example was that he dreamt that he saw one of his patients sitting in a cafe eating sandwiches and tea.
All right, so I was thinking that immediately when you said about therapy and her patients, my brain immediately went to The Sopranos, Tony Soprano and his therapist. I can't remember her name, that's terrible. And he dreams of like having sexy times with her.
No, not that.
No,
My brain
okay.
went like The Cell, where I was like, oh, you're working
I've
with
not
like
seen that,
previously
but that's
disturbed people. And no,
right.
apparently it's really bland stuff. But he'd said that,
Okay.
so he'd had this dream, and then it's the next appointment he had with his patient, he'd done the usual like, and how have things been this week, Steve?
And how
We
do
both
you
know.
feel about that?
Everyone knows. Everyone listening knows. We all have a therapist. And his patient said, oh, I had a really weird dream the other night that I was sitting on my own in like a little French patisserie, drinking tea and eating triangle sandwiches, and I looked up and you were staring at me through the window, at which point Dr. McNamara was like, what the fuck? So he started looking into it and found out that this is really, really common. But again, they're all very bland ones. So
All right,
he'd
okay.
said that one of the
So his therapist isn't out the window riding a unicorn.
no,
No,
like
okay.
the strangest one he found, which again isn't even that strange, is that one of the women that he knew had a dream that she'd seen one of her patients eating a picnic in the park, and there was a huge yellow spider on her picnic blanket, like huge, like the size of a dog. And she thought,
Right,
that's
that's
weird.
bizarre.
And then waved over to her patient and carried on walking through the park, and then woke up. And then, same scenario, went to work. Patient came in. She was like, hiya, Julie, how have things been this week? And Julie was like, I keep having weird dreams about huge spiders. And I actually had one the other night that I was in the park having a picnic, and there was a huge yellow spider on the blanket, and you jogged by and waved at us. And again,
That's
it's, I was
so.
like, oh, what the fuck? So, yeah, that's like a recognized thing in psychotherapy that quite often
That's.
patients and therapists share bland dreams.
Well, I guess it all comes down to because, again, they're connecting consciously with each other. They're sharing intimate secrets. Well, maybe not the therapist, but they've got that connection to each other.
Yeah, it's almost like, I suppose, the patient's given the therapist access to their dreamscape. So
Yeah.
the woman that was dreaming about the big spiders, it just happened that that woman had like that her therapist had fallen into her dreamscape.
Who was the psychotherapist that was all about dreams? Was it Jung? It was. I don't think it was Freud. Freud was all about shagging your mum and it's all about sex and stuff, whereas Jung was all about dreams, I think.
Yeah, he was all about the shared
That's.
consciousness as well as
Yeah,
dreams.
so it's very Jungian, and maybe that gives him more legitimacy than fraudulent Freud. I don't like
Yes.
Sigmund Freud. I think he's a prick. Don't like the way he treats women.
No, I think Freud just had his own
Yeah.
weird opinions and then just assumed everybody thought the same as him.
Yeah. Penis envy, he thought women had. Like, it all comes down to body parts or, yeah, some sort of perversion linked to sexual stuff with Freud. I don't really like him.
No.
I would be like Niles in this situation because Fraser was more of a Freud person
Claude.
and fraud. Niles was more Jung and Fraser was all about Freud, so I would be Niles. Who would you be? A Niles or
Also
Fraser?
Niles.
Yeah,
I loved
definitely.
Jungian stuff when I was at uni.
Yeah, I prefer Jung.
Yeah. Will
Yeah,
I
so
tell you about
that's
his
where
twin dream
we.
study?
Yeah.
So he carried out a separate study from the one that I've already told you about, which was into twins' dreams, with another psychotherapist, M.H. Runyon. So they split up. They'd had a, sorry, the two of them carried out a series of split up sleep studies with twins. That's a tongue twister.
Yeah, that really is. I'm totally
And
getting
they
me to say
found some
that.
like pretty interesting things. So they found that quite a lot of twins reported having similar dreams and similar nightmares. So, for example, when they woke up in the morning, one of the twins would be with McNamara and one of them would be with Runyon. And if she said to one twin, oh, what did you dream of? And they said, oh, I had a terrible nightmare about a tornado. The other twin that was with McNamara would give the same response. So it's not necessarily that they had the same dream,
Right.
but the dreams contained really similar elements.
Okay, which again makes
They
sense.
also found that quite a lot of them had what we were already talking about like the same dream but from different perspectives. So one example was that two twins reported that they had basically exactly the same dream about being at a sort of early 1900s fair,
Oh,
but they
okay,
weren't
Ellie.
together in it and they weren't at the same point in the fair, but they both had a dream about being at an early 1900s fairground.
Yeah, so like one of them is riding the carousel and another one's like licking a toffee lollipop or something.
My head went carnival worker, but either way,
All right.
yeah.
Licking a car with a
Like in a
worker.
carnival worker. The most interesting one that they found, which to be fair, I agree with, I was like, yeah, that is an interesting one. So, one of the women who was with Dr. Runyon told her when she asked her about her dream, she said, oh, I actually had a really bizarre dream. I dreamt that I went to tell my sister, so the sister that was in the other lab, who was a single person in waking life. So, she went to tell her single twin. Basically, she walked to a bigger ornate building, went into it to find her single twin, who was in a wedding dress, and she knew that she'd gone there to tell her not to get married and screamed at her, don't do it, don't get married. And then McNamara in the other building had asked the other sister what she'd dreamt of, and she'd said, I'd had a really strange dream that I was in a wedding dress inside this really ornate room, and then my sister burst in and shouted at me not to get married.
Right, so that's a clear example of a shared dream.
Yes,
Like
definitely.
they're in the same dreamscape.
Yeah.
Because I don't have an explanation for that other than that's what's happening. It's like I can understand with twins because they were together in the womb and they probably share a deep connected consciousness.
Yeah,
But
he wondered
actually,
if it was something like on a DNA level that, like,
right.
because they almost are the same person.
Yeah, they basically. Well, it's like when they said if a set of twins marry another set of twins and they have kids, technically they're not cousins, they're more siblings.
Can I end
Uh-huh.
on a really awful note?
Oh, okay. Let's end the podcast on a really fucking awful note.
So
Right.
the one that they found that struck them the most, which for anyone who wants to read up on it, is on page 140 specifically because I took a photo of it, or a screenshot. Page 140 of
What's the name of this?
the McNamara and Runyon study into twins' dreams. So.
You're not going to go down the route of Joseph Mengele, are you?
No.
Okay, that's fine, because he experimented on twins.
So they found several examples of one twin having a dream of something that would then happen to the other twin later. So, like, one of the twins would dream that they'd been in the like recreational room and had dropped a glass of water and the glass of water spilled directly into their shoe. And then that would happen like 2 days later to their twin that was in the other area being studied. But there was one set of twins where their dreams didn't match up, but the guy that was with McNamara for the 2 weeks that they were studying them, he had a recurring nightmare every night where he was driving his car at dark. During the period of driving, he would be involved in a car accident where the
Right.
car he was driving would flip over again and again and again, and he knew that he was dying and then would wake up.
Okay.
He said this dream terrified him so much that he didn't want to drive in the dark after coming out of the study. Several
But
weeks
was.
after the study had finished, his identical twin, who was in the other lab
Where this is
being
going.
tested by Runyon, was driving late at night
Yeah,
and his car struck a sign and flipped over several times before landing directly on top of him, crushing his brain, resulting in his death.
See, I knew that was going to happen. It was not him dreaming it, he was dreaming about his brother's death.
Yeah.
Which kind of freaks me out a little bit because me and my sister used to always be like mistaken for twins, mostly because one would put us in the same clothes and have us have the same hair style, and we were quite close in age. And I'll never forget, like, it still kind of comes up in my head every now and then that my sister, when we were kids, we used to sleep in bunk beds.
Yeah.
Before my dad converted the cupboard the cupboard into one, like a single bedroom, and we shared a room and we had bunk beds. And my sister said that she had a hot an awful dream where I died and she woke up crying and stuff because it was so real. And ever since then, I've never forgotten it. And I think, does that mean I'm gonna die before her? And I keep thinking, when is this gonna happen? I'm convinced it's gonna be true.
But then, although they're saying it's like future dreams, it's like it seems to be relatively close future dreams instead of.
Yeah, but again, I don't know. She had that dream. I've never dreamt that Charlotte's died.
Also,
uh-huh.
Again, like, they're dreaming from each other's perspective. So if she's having a future dream where you die, it mm-hmm. doesn't necessarily mean that she's still alive when you die. It doesn't even mean she's there when you die.
Okay, Mark, you've comforted me. Okay, right. Well, I'll just erase that from my mind then.
Good.
Thank you. Now I'm going to dream about you because you're like my therapist now and you're going to see me.
Tonight I'll be dreaming situation. That I'm walking through the park and there you'll be with your giant yellow spider just chilling, having a picnic.
I was going to say, like, I'd be bathing naked in a lake or something and then you come along and I'd be like, ooh, no! Where's my fig leaf? That's where my mind went. I'm sorry.
Maybe you could use a giant yellow spider to cover yourself up.
Yeah, I could. It would be like a nice wee furry dress. I like the idea of a little yellow spider. It sounds like a big Muppet thing.
Yeah, that's also the way I imagined it, just because they were having a picnic together. I thought it was like, you know, wearing a wee hat and giving a wee wave as well. Like, hello.
It's got many hats because it's got like, I don't know, it's got eight eyes. So I'd imagine it would have eight hats. Eye.
Or a hat between each two eyes.
Like a little clown hat or something with a flower in it.
Oh.
Oh. Well, actually...
There we go. Now we've ended on a joyous note.
Yes. I thought that was quite... Well, I didn't think this was going to be a great topic, but I actually quite enjoyed it. And it does open up a lot of questions. And I just... Right. To conclude this podcast, do you think that you have ever been in someone else's dream? Do you think it's possible? I think I have. But I think I've shared someone else's dreamscape. Well, I think I've more like I travel in my dreams to weird places. So I think I'm not so much entering anyone else's consciousness. I believe that I travel to strange realities and I go there all the time. And I meet weird people.
I don't know.
And that's why I find it hard to get
up. I think some
of
my dreams maybe are me accessing other realities. I don't think I've ever been in anyone else's dream, but I definitely think that that guy that I saw that time in my dream,
that
one specific example I gave you, was somebody else in my dream.
I like that you found that scientific thesis, because that study, because that then it gives you an explanation to that. So when you read that, were you like, oh my God, that's what that was?
Yeah. I found it interesting as well that it was like the two most common ones, and then when I read the second one, I was like, oh, that ties totally in with that. Whereas the first one... Yeah. Which is the one you've experienced. When I read that, I was like, I've never experienced anything like that in my entire...
Well, we've both had a sort of experience in one of those studies, a different type of dream sharing or dream walking. It's just, obviously, like, it's one of the varieties. So you've had the one where you go to a weird, like, virtual reality place and, yeah, you see a stranger, but it's not... There's usually no one there. Whereas yeah. I always go to, like... a different dimension or a different place or and see people or I don't know, I interact more. And it's, I don't know, I just love those dreams though. At the same time, like, I love dreaming, it's my favorite thing, but I find it so hard to get to sleep. But see, when I actually get stuck in a dream, I do not want to leave it. I'm the kind of person that would just stay in a dream forever. Just happily stay there. And that's why I find it so hard to get up. Like, I know I should wake up. I often wake up and go, I should get up now, but I was enjoying my dream so much that I'd rather go back to sleep and get back to where I was rather than get up to face reality.
I get you.
Yeah. So then I end up sleeping far too late, and then I get up and I've got like a horrible headache, you know, that feeling when you've definitely had too much sleep. But it's because I was so addicted to the dream world. It's terrible. I've got a problem. That doesn't mean to say that my reality is shit or anything. It's just that the dream world's just so much more interesting.
No, like, I mean, I like my life a great deal, but I also really like sleeping.
Right, well, I think that's an hour and a half, so let's pick the next topic.
Let's do it. We're up to 44 at the moment.
I'm going to go down to number four.
Number four is Stranger Things.
Just Stranger Things, the show.
Just Stranger Things, the show, which we clearly put on there a very long time ago because it's number four.
Yeah, I don't even remember putting that down as a topic, to be fair. Do you know what's weird, right? On Stranger Things, I don't know which one it is because like, we were on the way to the shop, Stephen and I, and a song came on the radio and Dave was like, oh, that's a shit song, I hate it. And I was like, well, what is it? And he's like, oh, it's one of the kids from Stranger Things' song. And I was like, well, which one? He's like, I don't know. So now I need to know who it is because it did sound like it was a really poor attempt at an 80s synth song. And yeah, so I just thought I'd bring that up.
You can find out for next week.
Yeah.
That could be one of the things we talk about.
I thought, yeah, because like, oh, and Mandy, right? We were talking about this show called Mandy before we recorded a podcast. I highly recommend it, listeners. If you're like outside the UK, try and stream it because it's fucking hilarious. It's actress Diane Morgan, and she plays this surreal character called Mandy Carter. Sorry, how dare I get her name wrong? Yeah, and she just lives this really bizarre life. And my sister's like, you need to watch this episode. Maybe you can discuss it on your podcast, but I can't because Mark's not seen it, so I can't really discuss it. So Mark, please watch that episode, and we can maybe discuss it later. I don't know, it's not really a relevant topic to like Crystal Myth though. Let's discuss Mandy season.
I mean, arguably five. Not Stranger Things isn't, because I get we've done films and stuff. I'm not entirely sure how we're going to do this one because we can't give a rundown of everything that we found weird and hilarious in the entirety of Stranger Things.
Well, maybe they're just talking about the upside down, like what's the equivalent of, I guess it's sort of like interdimensional. It's also quite Lovecraftian. It's very Lovecraftian actually. The Mind Flayer, that must come from somewhere. The Demigorgon.
It comes from Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh,
it's got a
right.
lot of interest in like mythical creatures from Dungeons and Dragons.
Instead of Stranger Things, right? We can link into it, but why don't we just do Dungeons and Dragons then? Like the where the, you know, like similar to Pokemon, like where the creatures from Dungeons and Dragons are into.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
And I've never actually ever played, because they do play Dungeons and Dragons, again, that's another link to Stranger Things in that show. I've never played it because I'm not a mega nerd. Have you?
Yeah.
Ever played Dungeons and Dragons?
Oh, Dungeons and Dragons is great, but I'm famously a mega nerd.
I don't think you are, though. I guess, you know, I say I'm not a mega nerd, but I guess I am. Because I do have a lot of knowledge, obscure knowledge of all these old films and stuff. It's just not the type of nerd that one typically thinks of. But I am a nerd in a certain, like a different way. Like I'm a nerd when it comes to like silent movies or old movie stars or like pop culture. I guess I'm not so much into anime and stuff, but I am aware of it. So yeah, I suppose I am a bit of a nerd.
Yay.
A goth nerd.
Shall we do one of the Dungeons and Dragons creatures that are the monsters from Stranger Things each, and then one that's like just an interesting monster from Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
And then it can have a very long episode title.
And maybe you can explain to me how a game of Dungeons and Dragons works. Like,
gladly.
You can talk me through a typical Dungeons and Dragons session. And even if you got the books, or have you got any of the Dungeon Master, is that what they call them? It's someone the Dungeon Master and they read the book. Like they read.
I was going to say yeah, but I think they're all at my parents.
So who do you play Dungeons and Dragons with?
I mean, nowadays no one. I sometimes play it with my nephew and the selected myth children.
Okay.
Both my myth child and the myth to make them sound more mythical.
The myth
twins who aren't actually twins. So something like they quite like to play it and I quite like to DM while they're playing it, so that's
right. DM,
yeah, which is why all the stuff's
my parents,
because
I started
bringing bits and bobs up there so the mythical children could play with it, and I think everything's up there now.
I don't think they would be interested in playing Dungeons and Dragons, but I suppose kids would probably like to be more imaginative and stuff. I thought they would just be more interested in watching YouTube or some shit, or TikTok.
None of them have TikTok. They're
good.
Too
that way. Too wee. TikTok, TikTok for kids. All right, then. I will see you in my dreams.
Yes. Do
I
you
will make
permit
my
me
dream.
To come into your dream?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit like a vampire asking to be invited in, but okay. Just don't do anything fucked up.
I won't, I promise.
Bring
Right,
me
you
tea
go
and
have a
cake.
sleepy time tea, and I'll go have 573 sleepy time teas because I'm hardcore.
Goodbye.
Bye.